fact to follow there. But aren't you glad that heaven is your home tonight if you're saved? It's going to be sweet. And so appreciate the special tonight. Go ahead and let's just go ahead and get started tonight. We'll get right into it. Go ahead and stand with me if you will. Open up your Bibles to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. And then also, if you will, find Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. You don't have to put a marker or anything, just your finger in Hebrews chapter 11. We're just going to read it for the introduction, and then we won't come back to it. So Genesis chapter 22, and then also Hebrews 11. Still hear some pages turning. We'll wait for you. Genesis chapter 22. We'll begin tonight by reading Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 18, and then Hebrews chapter 11, verses 17 through 19. Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 18. The Bible says this. It says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told them of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound his son Isaac, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Isaac stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called out on him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he immediately said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, and the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called out unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. And if you will, look over with me into Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11. Let's read three verses of there tonight. Hebrews chapter 11, if you will, look at verses 17 through 19 with me. The Bible says, By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, That in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Tonight I'd just like to preach to you a message which God has spoken to me about, just simply a message which I've entitled, Tests of Our Faith. Tests of our faith tonight. We'll ask Brother Scott if he would lead us in prayer.
Father, again, we're so very thankful for this evening. We thank you again, Father, for covering the church. We're thankful that we're able to serve you through this place. And now we pray that they would receive you tonight before it's eternally too late. Thank you again for what you do, above all for loving us, for saving us. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Please be seated. So by way of introduction tonight, how many of you enjoy a good test? How many of you like taking tests? Now, I know that there are some nerds, I would call them, who actually enjoy taking tests. I guess that's probably not a pretty good word to call Those of you out there that may enjoy taking tests, but for the most part, most of us don't enjoy taking tests. Again, there are some types of people who do, but for the most of us, that's just not for us. We don't enjoy taking tests. You know, I doubt that if I were to ask for volunteers tonight to come up to the front of the church here tonight, and we're going to, you know, put up some algebra problems up here on the screen behind me, and you're going to walk us through some of these algebra problems, and we're going to test your knowledge of algebra right here in front of the entire church. I doubt I'd have very many volunteers. Now, don't worry, I'm not going to, but I doubt we would have very many volunteers. Well, why is that? Because we don't want to be tested on algebra tonight. No one wants to be tested on algebra. Nobody has ever wanted to be tested on algebra, for that matter. You know, those in school here tonight, those children in school here tonight, they don't like taking tests. Can I get an amen, children? They don't like taking tests. Teachers, those who are homeschoolers and stuff like that, they don't like grading their tests. You know, when we were children, most of us, I would assume, went to school at some point in our lives. We didn't enjoy taking tests. As a matter of fact, us as adults, we still don't like taking tests. I mean, anybody here in the Air Force, anybody like taking PT tests? I mean, anybody here like it when your boss says, hey, we're having an inspection tomorrow? I mean, everybody's just like, yes, sign me up for an inspection. Sign me up for one of those tests. But you know, the truth is tonight that we don't like taking tests. I mean, even those who are older or maybe just have medical problems, you don't like going in to get some medical tests taken. We just don't like taking tests. You know, I remember when I was in high school, I was one of those weird people that didn't mind taking tests. You know, academics had always came pretty naturally to me. They came pretty easy to me. And so I didn't mind taking tests, especially in my high school for whatever reason. I just never needed to study for tests. I mean, I've always thought, you know, tests are things over material that you should already know, so you shouldn't have to study. And so I never studied, and somehow I always passed with flying colors, which is a good thing and a bad thing, because then when I went to college and I tried that same thing my freshman year of college, I realized pretty quickly, ooh, this is not the same as high school. I actually have to study for tests. It wasn't a very fun time. It wasn't very hard. It wasn't very a nice lesson to learn. But you know, I remember thinking about tests. I was thinking about this. I remember back when I was like in middle school. Perhaps there's some children here tonight who may think the same way. But I remember when I was in middle school, I used to think, you know what? Our teacher gives us tests because they just are cruel. I mean, they just hate. They just love to torture us. That's why they give us these tests. They do it to torture us. I mean, they're just cruel. They hate us, and they just wanted to put us through all this torture and agony, and you know, make us do all this work and studying. That's why they give us these tests. But then, as I got older, I realized that that's actually not the thing at all. Because, as I said, teachers don't like grading the test. Number one, but then number two, teachers test their students not for the sole benefit of the teacher. I mean, sure, the teacher will want to know if their students are learning the material, but for the most part, teachers give tests so that the students will be able to understand what they know about the material that's being covered. Now, the reason I mention that is because critics of the Bible, they read this account and they say, well, man, God must be very cruel. I mean, God must be very unkind. I mean, look at the agony that he made Abraham go through. I mean, what kind of loving God would do such a thing like this? I mean, what is God doing here? He's just cruel. Look at this test that he gave Abraham. But the truth is, if you and I were to ask Abraham tonight, he wouldn't think that God is very cruel for what he did. He wouldn't think God is very cruel in giving him this test of faith. And as we'll see tonight, God gave Abraham this test of faith for Abraham's benefit more than anything else. And speaking of Abraham here tonight, I assume most of all of us are familiar with the life of Abraham here on a Sunday night. And so we're not going to turn to the passages. I'll just give you a couple of the events of his life. But we know, first off, let me point this out, that Abraham was not a perfect man. We all agree on that tonight. Abraham was not a perfect man. Now, he was a great man of God, but he was not a perfect man. Now, I think this is important because a lot of times we see these heroes of the faith in scriptures and we romanticize them into thinking, well, I can never attain that because, I mean, after all, Abraham, he just had some special kind of Christianity. You know, he just had some sort of special kind of spirituality where, I mean, his tests, they were hard, but he was able to pass them because he had something different than I have. No, Abraham was flesh and bones just like you and I. Abraham was a man just like you and I. And I believe that's why God recorded for us some of his shortcomings in Scripture, so that we wouldn't get the wrong idea about Abraham. You know, we see God call Abraham out of the Ur of the Chaldees. God said, Abraham, I want you to get up, I want you to leave your kindred, your father's house, and I want you to go to a land that I'm going to tell you. He said, take everything and go. Go where? Just go. I'll tell you when to stop. And Abraham did so. I mean, that's pretty impressive. That's pretty impressive right there. But then this is the same man who also lied about his wife being his sister on two separate occasions. I don't know if you're like me. Every time I read the book of Genesis, and I get to the second time, and I'm like, Abraham, again? You know, you didn't learn your lesson the first time. You're saying she's your sister again? And then the worst part is his son picks up on that habit. And later on, he does the exact same thing, uses that same lie that Abraham did. You know, Abraham was the same man who dealt very wisely with Lot. He dealt very, very wisely with Lot. Lot was working with him, and Abraham had accumulated much as God had blessed Abraham. And then there came a point where there was just too much going on. Their herds and their sheep, they had gotten too big, and they needed to split up. And you know what Abraham did? Abraham yielded to Lot. He said, Lot, I want you to pick the best land. Pick any land you want. Lot, if you'll go to the north, I'll go to the south. If you go to the south, I'll go to the north. And he went through all of them. He said, Lot, you choose. You choose. Take some of my herds and you go. Now listen, Abraham didn't have to do that. Abraham didn't have to do that. Abraham was the one that was being blessed by God. He didn't have to yield to Lot, but he chose to. And then again, that's a tremendous blessing in the life of Abraham, a tremendous testimony in Abraham. But at the same time, Abraham is the same man who yielded to his wife when she said, go into my handmaid Hagar and have a son. And he did. He yielded. And of course, he had his son Ishmael, which was not the promised son. We know that this evening. And so we see him being blessed by God. We see his successes, if you will, his testimonies of success. But we also see his failures. He was a man just like you and I. Abraham was a sinner just like you and I. We know Abraham didn't have some special kind of unattainable level of Christianity. Let's just get that out of the way tonight. But for the most part, he did what he could to follow God's leading in his life. But one day, God decided to test Abraham's faith. Now listen tonight, it was a very hard test. If you've read this passage of Scripture, if you were listening as we read it tonight, this is a very hard test of Abraham's faith. It was a difficult test. And it was an important test. It was an important test for God, as we said. This was more of an important test for Abraham. Because God, in his foreknowledge, he already knew what was going to happen. He already knew what was going to happen. But I believe it was important to test Abraham so that Abraham himself would see what level of his faith and commitment to God was. You know, perhaps tonight I believe this passage of Scripture teaches us that God wants our faith to be tested at times. I think we learn from this passage that God wants to test our faith at times. Do you believe that tonight? Let me ask you, is God testing your faith right now? Has it been in the last couple weeks? As you think of your week ahead, maybe at work and things like that, can you foresee some tests of your faith coming up? Well, what if I were to tell you that you were going to take a test of faith, God was going to test your faith tonight? If I were to tell you that, I think the question that would be on your minds is, well, what do I have to do to pass the test? If I said, hey, we have a test for you tonight, I'm sure all of you would say, well, what do I got to do to pass the test? You know, perhaps if you're like me, when I was in school, a lot of times, when I expected there to be a hard test in the class, I would go to someone who took the class before, and I would say, hey, what should we expect? You know, what should I expect? What should I study? What should I look at? What should I go over? What's on it? How do I pass it? How have you passed it before? You know, what did you have to do in order to pass the test? Well, thankfully tonight, Abraham perhaps passed the ultimate test of faith. In our passage here tonight, Abraham perhaps passed the ultimate test of faith. And we have someone who has taken and passed a great test of faith in his life. And we can, out of this scripture, we can look at this scripture tonight, and it will help us when it's our turn for our faith to be tested to pass it as well. So how do we pass those tests of faith tonight? How do we pass our tests of faith? Well, tonight from our text, I want us to see three things we must do if we're going to pass God's test of faith in our lives. If we're going to pass God's test of faith in our lives. The first thing I want us to look at tonight is this. If we're going to pass God's tests of faith, then we must submit to taking the test. We must submit to taking the test. Now, nobody here tonight wanted to hear that as the first point the preacher was going to tell you from the pulpit. You're going to have to agree to take a test. You know, if you're going to pass God's test of your faith, you're going to have to agree to take a test. Again, adults and children alike, we don't like taking tests. We don't enjoy it. People will do all kinds of things to get out of tests, won't they? I mean, they'll do all kinds of things. I've seen some classmates of mine, you know, make themselves sick so they didn't have to take a test. You know, I've seen some that will just skip the test. You know, hey, I'm going to take a rain check. Something came up and I can't make the test. We like to come up with all kinds of excuses why we don't have to take the test. But listen tonight, whether we like it or not, God wants to give us some tests of our faith. And we're going to have to submit in taking them. But I want us to notice a couple things that we might find a little bit unusual about God's tests. Let's look at a couple things that we might find a little unusual about God's tests, specifically of our faith. First, would you notice with me this, the timing of Abraham's test. Let's look at the timing of Abraham's test. Look, we'll, if you will, with me at Genesis chapter 22, and just look at the first phrase of verse number 1. The Bible says, "And it came to pass after these things." After these things. These things, of course, points us back to the events in chapter 21. Look, Will, if you will with me, at Genesis chapter 21, and let's read verses 1 and 2 of Genesis chapter 21. The Bible said, "And the Lord visited Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah, as he had spoken," as God always does, "for Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God has spoken to him." Well, hey, that's a blessing right there, amen? He had just had the son that God had been promising him for many, many years. You know, if you're Abraham, that'll put you in a good mood. And then if that wasn't good enough, in verses 9 through 21 or so of chapter 21, we're not going to read it, but God told Abraham he needed to cast out the bondwoman and her son. He had to get rid of Ishmael and Hagar, since Ishmael was mocking Isaac, and so he said, "Abraham, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to need you to cast out Hagar and Ishmael." Now, on the surface, this doesn't sound like a good thing. I mean, you know, if you're Abraham and God told you, "Hey, I need you to get rid of Hagar and I need you to get rid of Ishmael," this doesn't sound like a good thing, but actually this was a very good thing for Abraham. This was a very good thing for Abraham because he said, God promised Abraham, he said, "Hey, look, don't worry about them because I'm going to make Ishmael a great nation." He said, "You don't need to worry about them. I will take care of them." Abraham, because of his sin, he had all of this family strife going on. He had a hostile family life, if you will, and God took care of it. God worked all that out. He said, "Don't worry, cast them out. They'll be okay. I will protect them. I will bless them, but cast them out," and God worked all this out. I mean, that was a blessing for Abraham. That's a blessing for Abraham right there. And if that wasn't good enough, then in verses 22 through 34, Abraham makes peace with Abimelech. He makes peace with Abimelech, and they work out a deal where Abraham is able to live in the land of the Philistines peaceably. I believe it's verse 34 that says that Abraham sojourned in the land many days. He was able to live in the land peaceably of the Philistines. I mean, that's always good, amen, to be able to live in your land peaceably. I know in other countries around the world, they would know what it's like to not be able to live in their land peacefully. You know, thankfully, we here in America, for many, many years, for all of our lives, I would say, we've taken for granted the ability to live in our land peacefully. Now, depending on how the next couple of weeks goes, we may not be able to live in the land peaceably like we are now, and we'll count it a blessing that we had this time if that were to happen. So, I mean, all these great things are going on in Abraham's life. All of these great things are going on in Abraham's life. But then in verse number 1 in our text, we read where it says, "And after these things, after life had been going great for Abraham, God decided to test Abraham." He's not the only one throughout Scripture that faced a great test of his faith when things were going great. I mean, we could look at Job, can't we? Job immediately comes to my mind. I mean, Job was just trying to do what God wanted him to do. God had been blessing Job, and Job had just been doing what God wanted to do, and then all of a sudden, Satan goes to God one day, and God says, "Hey, have you considered my servant Job? You know, he's perfect. He's an upright man. He fears God. He eschews evil." And Satan says, "Well, he's only doing this because you're blessing him. That's the only reason he's trusting you. That's the only reason, you know, he's following you like he's supposed to." And God said, "Well, okay, let's put him to the test. And so he did. And then we look at other men in the Scripture where God tested their faith and things weren't going so great in their lives. I think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I mean, these guys, they were not enjoying the most pleasant times of their life. I mean, they were in bondage. They were in captivity. Not a good time in their life. I think of Daniel. He was in a den of hungry lions. Not a good time to have your faith tested. I mean, not a good time in his life. You know, the truth of the matter is God can test us at any time. In times are good and when times are bad. You know, wouldn't it be great tonight if we could reach a point in our life where, you know, maybe we pass enough tests from God to where God doesn't have to test our faith anymore? Doesn't that sound good to us? You know what? I just wish that I could attain this point in my life where I'll never have to be tested of God again. We think that sounds great, but the reality is that's not the case. God will always continue to test us. They may be small, they may be great, but God will always continue to test our faith until the day we die. And we don't get to choose when those things happen. We don't get to choose when the tests happen. You know, God gives us pop quizzes, pop tests, if you will. We all hate those. You know, sometimes God will test our faith, and it'll seem like, well, where did this come from? I mean, things were going great in my life. Why do I have this test of my faith going on? God, what are you doing here? What's going on here? We could be like, God, really, now? Wouldn't it be great, as I said, if you could have enough success living for God that these tests don't have to pop up? I mean, Abraham seemed to be doing great. His relationship with the Lord was pretty strong. It had to be for him to pass this test. And so here comes this test of his faith. But the truth is, God chooses the timing of our tests of faith. It may not be a time when we're expecting. It may not be a time that we feel is right. But we still need to surrender and take the test. Secondly, tonight, I think I need to clarify this. Let me also give you the technique of God's test. The technique of God's test, this doesn't really apply to our message here tonight, but I feel like it's important to share with you. The technique of God's test. Look with me, if you will, verse number 1 again. The Bible says, and it came to pass after these things that God did, notice, tempt Abraham. God tempted him. As I said, I feel the need to clarify something here. It says here in this passage, God tempted Abraham. Now, I believe tonight, you don't understand, have to understand Greek and Hebrew to be able to understand the Bible you're holding here tonight. If you have a King James Bible in your lap or in your hands this morning or this evening, you don't need to understand Greek and Hebrew to be able to understand that. All you need is a dictionary, and you can understand every word in your Bible. Now, I'm saying this, and I took Greek and Hebrew in college, and so I understand how much benefit you can get from understanding the biblical languages. But you don't need to know that in order to understand your Bible. Right. And the reason I bring that up is because a lot of people, actually, I was reading some commentaries, believe it or not, there's some people who will point out a contradiction in the Bible here. They'll say, hold on a second. It says here in Genesis chapter 22 that God tempted Abraham. Doesn't it say somewhere else in the Bible that God doesn't tempt anybody? He doesn't tempt anybody at all. God tempteth no man. No man can be tempted of God. Well, yes, that's correct. That's correct. And you know, just to so that we can clarify this, hold your place here in Genesis chapter 22 and turn with me, if you will, over to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. You and I know that there are two kinds of tempting in the Bible. We know that here tonight. There is a tempting, which is a testing or a proving, which is what God was doing to Abraham here. We saw in Hebrews chapter 11 where God said that he was trying Abraham. He was testing Abraham. He was tempting Abraham, if you will. And again, the Bible's the best commentary on itself. Amen. And so God says he was trying Abraham over in Hebrews chapter 11. But then we have some people who will point out, well, maybe there's an error in scriptures, because over here in James chapter 1, the Bible says that it says this. Look with me, if you will, at James chapter 1. Look at verses 13 and 14. The Bible says, let no man say, when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Oh, whoa, we have a contradiction here. But then notice verse number 14. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. When he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. You see, well, yes, that is correct. That, yes, God does not tempt any man to sin, is what James is saying. God doesn't tempt any man to do evil. He doesn't entice any man to sin. God says we are tempted to sin when we're drawn away first off by our own lusts, and then we're enticed by the devil or the someone that the devil has appointed to entice us. That is how we are tempted to sin. God's not, the Bible, James is saying God doesn't tempt us to sin. And so we know, of course, if James says that, then that's not what God is doing here in Genesis chapter 22. You know, I actually read a commentary. I read a commentary that said this. In Genesis chapter 22, God tempted Abraham to murder his son Isaac. I thought, who wrote this? What kind of Bible scholar would write something like this? God tempted Abraham. He tempted him to sin and murder his own son. We know that's not what was happening in this passage tonight. We know that because that's not what the Scripture teaches. Again, the Bible is the best commentary of itself. And so what does that mean when the Bible says that God tempted Abraham back in Genesis chapter 21? Well, it obviously means that God set out to test or to try or to give an assessment of Abraham. We know that here tonight. He gave an assessment of Abraham, not a tempting of evil. I just wanted to make sure that was clear tonight because I saw it come up as I was studying this passage. This was not a temptation to sin. This was simply the technique God was using to prove or to give an assessment of Abraham's faith. And so we've seen the timing of God's test, and we see the technique of God's testing, but I also want you to notice the instructions of God's test. The instructions of God's test. You know, if you're taking notes here tonight, I tried really hard to come up with a T word to make the points parallel. The only word I can think of was tidings, but it's too far away for Christmas to be able to use that. So if you're taking notes, if you want to use the word tidings, go ahead. But we're going to look at the details, or the instructions, the tidings, if you will, of God's test of Abraham's faith. Look with me, if you will, at Genesis chapter 22. Look at verse number 2. The Bible said, and he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Notice with me, if you will, that God is very specific when he gives us our tests. He's very specific when he gives us our tests of faith. He said, Abraham, I want your son. He said, Abraham, I want you to take your son. Now, if God would have just stopped there, I guarantee Abraham would have sent a search party out to find Ishmael. He said, oh, my son? Yep, well, okay, let's go get Ishmael. But God didn't just stop there. God was very specific. He said, no, I want you to take your son, your only son, Isaac. And he named him. He named Isaac. He named the son. God said, I want you to take your son, Isaac. But not only was God very specific, but he also requested something that seemed illogical. He tested him over something that seemed illogical. He said, take your son Isaac, take that promised son that I told you to the land of Moriah and offer him for a burnt offering upon a mountain that I'll point to you when you get there. Now, we just mentioned that Isaac was born in chapter 21. And so obviously some time had passed in Isaac's life at this point. Isaac was not a baby. He had grown up a little bit. Obviously, he had to carry some things up the mountain. And so Isaac had matured a little bit, but he's still relatively young, we can infer. And God said, I want you to take that promised son, carry him up the mountain, and offer him for me for a burnt offering. We're not going to take the time tonight to go back through scriptures and read all about what Isaac represented. But Isaac meant a lot to Abraham, did he not? He meant a lot. Abraham waited for God to give him Isaac for a long time. Listen, this was the son. This was the entire reason Abraham obeyed God. Abraham obeyed God. He left everything he had with the promise that one of these days God would make him a great nation. He'd make him a father of many nations. He'd give him a land, a seed, and a blessing. Abraham had waited for Isaac for years. For years. He was 100 years old when he had Isaac. That's a very interesting birthday present for a 100-year-old. I mean, you're the big 100, and here you go. You have a kid for your 100th birthday. Listen, he's getting older. Spoiler alert, Sarah's about to die in the next chapter, in chapter 23. They don't have a lot of time to be making more kids. This was the time, this was the son that they had waited for so long, and it was a miracle that they were able to have that son. Now this seems very illogical. God says, take that son and go offer him for me for a burnt offering. Abraham had to say to himself, are you kidding me? No way. Why? That don't make any sense. I mean, again, as I said, they're getting older. This doesn't make any sense. This is illogical. This was the promised son. You know, sometimes we say to ourselves, God, are you sure? Isaac? The promised son? God, you want to test my faith in this way? That doesn't make any sense to me. Why are we doing this? God, that don't make any sense. You know, the truth is that God's tests may seem illogical to us, but we still got to surrender to take them. We still got to submit to take them. Not only was God very specific in what he wanted, not only did God seem to ask something illogical, but thirdly, when you look at this something else with me, God asked for something that was very difficult for him. He asked for something that was very precious to him. God asked him for something precious. He said, I want you to take your son, your only son, Isaac. And then he had to tack on this phrase, whom thou lovest. Whom thou lovest. Honestly, this one seemed to hit me the most as I was studying this passage. He said, Abraham, give me Isaac, whom thou lovest. I mean, this just seems kind of cruel, doesn't it? I mean, this just seems kind of cruel. I mean, why did God have to attack on that last phrase, whom thou lovest? See, we would like to think, well, that if God was testing our faith and he was going to ask us to offer up something specific, surely he wouldn't ask us to offer up something that was precious to him. Surely giving up something precious wouldn't be on our test of faith. Giving up something precious to us, giving up someone precious to us, surely that wouldn't be on our test of faith. You know, if God knew that we loved this activity or he knew that we loved this person, surely God wouldn't have included this on the test. But I can't get away from the fact that God said, whom thou lovest. Whom thou lovest. You know, maybe we think to ourselves, you know, maybe if God knew how much I cared about this, maybe he wouldn't include it on the test. If only he knew that I love this person or that thing or that activity or that hobby or those people or that family or that city or that career or that country or even that church family. If God only knew that I loved those things, surely he wouldn't have put that on my test of faith. I mean, if God knew how much I loved those things, surely he wouldn't ask me to give those things up. But I'm going to tell you something, that the Scriptures doesn't teach that. You know, the Bible said God knew that Isaac was someone that Abraham loved. Listen, let me be clear about something before I go forward. Not all tests of faith from God are this difficult. Not all of them are going to ask you to give up something precious to you. But the truth of the matter is, some of them do, some of them will. Some of the tests will include giving up something very precious to you. Sometimes they may include a giving up something or someone that you love. Listen, that's tough for me to say as a preacher up here tonight. You know, that it's tough for me to say that God may test your faith in having you give up something you love or someone you love so that He can test your faith. That's tough to say. Just a couple weeks ago, I had to watch my wife give up her grandfather to cancer, lung cancer, passed away. Look, that's pretty hard. That's pretty hard. But it made it a little easier, praise the Lord, that Brother Pittman was able to leave him to the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. And he's in heaven here tonight. But it's tough when God's test of faith includes taking someone you love. That's difficult. But praise God, that's not the only way He tests our faith. Amen. Praise God, most of our tests, they're a lot easier than that. But some of them, they include that. Some of them include giving up something very precious to you. God said, Abraham, I want to test your faith so that you can see how strong it is. And what I want is something very precious, something that you love. How many of us would have agreed to take that kind of test tonight? I guarantee none of us would volunteer to take the test. But how many of us, if God would ask us to give up something we love, would agree to take that test tonight? How many of us would hold on tight and say, no way, God, you're too cruel. I'm not surrendering that. God, that's too illogical. That's too precious to me. No way you can have that. You know, maybe God would call you to preach tonight. And you say, God, no way. I like my life the way it is. I like my life. I like my job. I like this city. I like this church family. I like my career. I'm not giving any of that up. God says, I want you to go be a missionary. God, I love this country. I'm not giving that up. God may ask us to do something, give something precious to us. Maybe it wouldn't even be that dramatic. Maybe God would just ask you to have a good testimony while a loved one endures sickness, or you endure sickness, or you lose a loved one. You know, I was praying with Al in men's prayer yesterday, and I feel for his family. My heart goes out to his family for having to endure the situation with his grandfather. You know, nobody would sign up for that. Nobody would sign up for that. But the reality is that God tests our faith that way sometimes. He tests them in that way sometimes. Maybe God would simply just ask us to teach a Sunday school class or go out on visitation. We'd say, you know what, God, no way. That's my only day off. I'm not giving up my time. I'm not going to give up time throughout the week to sacrifice, to study. No way you can have that, God. The truth is that God wants to test our faith. It may not be every day. It may not be every month. It may not be every year, but like any good teacher, God will test the faith of His students. And the question tonight is, will we submit to taking the test when the time comes? Even the difficult ones. Even the difficult ones. Even the ones that seem illogical. Even the ones that ask for something precious to us. Listen, we have an incredible testimony, an incredible example of Abraham. Look with me, if you will, at verse number 3. This is what Abraham's response was. Verse number 3 says, Abraham rose up early in the morning. He didn't hesitate. Rose up in the morning, saddled his ass, took two young men, Isaac his son, wood, and he went to the place where God had told him. Wow. Wow. Abraham said, God, if you want to test my faith in this way, I submit. I'll take the test. I'll take the test. You know, I admit that's a tough challenge tonight. The Lord was tough on me, and it's tough for me to ask us this, but obviously we wouldn't volunteer for it tonight. But would we be willing to give up the most precious things in order to allow God to test our faith? It's a difficult thought, amen? I guess the true answer is we never really would know. Until God actually asks us, until God actually puts that on our tests of faith. But would to God we'd strive to have faith strong enough in God that we could submit to taking any test, even the difficult ones that God would assign to us. Listen tonight, if we're going to pass God's tests of faith, we're going to have to be willing to submit to taking the test. Again, I don't want to paint the picture that the only tests that God gives are these huge, difficult tests. Most of our tests are small, but sometimes they can be on a scale where we have to give up Isaac, whom we love. Regardless of the size of the test, God wants to see a willingness for us to allow Him to give us the test, administer the test to us, and surrender to taking them. But if we're going to pass God's tests of faith, we're going to have to submit to taking the test. Then secondly tonight, if we're going to pass God's tests of faith in our lives, we're going to have the right mindset in taking these tests. We're going to have the right mindset in taking God's tests of our faith. Honestly, I am so impressed by Abraham's mindset when God chose to test his faith in this way. Notice, with me, a couple of things. Number one, Abraham gathered everything he needed to obey. Look at verse 3. The Bible says, Abraham rose up early in the morning. He saddled his ass. He took two young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for a burnt offering and rose up and went to the place of which God had told him. Listen, he gathered everything required to obey. First off, again, as I said, he didn't hesitate, which is impressive right there. He rose up early in the morning to prepare to take that test. Now, the Bible doesn't record for us whether or not there was any balking by Abraham at this request. The Scripture doesn't seem to indicate that he didn't. It seems to indicate that he was just, okay, God, if you're testing my faith in this way, let's do it. So he got up early the next morning and he went. But then the more fascinating to me is that he took everything he needed for that offering, everything he needed to pass the test. Look, he took the knife, he took the wood, and he took his son, his only son that he loved. I don't know about you, but I know me. Perhaps I might have accidentally forgot to bring the wood to the offering. You know, oh, sorry, God, we're up the mountain, and I forgot to bring the wood. I forgot to bring the knife. No, Abraham didn't do that. He brought everything he needed to obey, which is more important because, secondly, he understood the sincerity of the test. You don't believe me? Look at verse number 4. Because then it said, on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw this place, saw the place afar off. The Scriptures tells us that this was a three-day journey. He had 3 days to think about all this. He had 3 days to mull all this over. He understood when he saw that mountain, oh, this is for real. This is for real. I am going up this mountain and I'm going to have to sacrifice my only son that I love. He understood the sincerity of it, but he still brought everything he needed to obey. He still brought the wood up. He still brought the knife up. That's incredible to me that he would have this testimony that I understand, God. I understand. I literally understand what you're asking of me. Let's do it. I surrender. Abraham saw the mountain and he understood the sincerity of it. So much so that, number 3, he got rid of anything and everything that would hinder him from backing out of the test. You don't believe me? Look at verse number 5. Because in verse number 5, Abraham said unto his young men that he had brought with Isaac and him, he said to his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and we'll come again to you. Did you catch that? He told the boys, stay down here. I and the lad will go up by ourselves. Just us alone. Well, question, why did he tell the boys to stay? You don't have to be a preacher to figure this out. Because the boys would have tried to stop him. They'd be like, Abraham, what are you doing? That's the promised son. You can't murder your son. Look, you're putting him on an altar. You're about to sacrifice your son. You can't do this. They would have grabbed his arms. They'd have tackled him. They'd have done everything they can. They'd do everything they can to hold him back. And Abraham said, I know that this is going to happen. You know what he said? He said, I can't have this. You two stay down here. Me and the lad, we're going up by ourselves. He got rid of everything, anything and everything that would hold him back, that would hinder him from taking the test that God had for him. Whew, man. Wow, what a testimony by Abraham. You know, those boys, they would have said, you know, Abraham, you can't do that. You can't murder your own son. That's the promised son. You love him. Don't do that. God wouldn't want you to do that. Are you kidding me? Don't do that. He blocked him out. You know, the truth of the matter is that a lot of times God will have us take a test that's difficult. And when we even get to the point of surrendering and saying, you know what, God, let's do it. We'll have some people around us, some naysayers, who will say, whoa, stop. Don't take that test. That's too difficult. Don't take that test. You say, what are you saying? Well, try going to the mission field. Try going to the mission field and see if your lost family doesn't try to talk some sense into you. See if they don't try to hold you back. See if they don't try to talk you out of it. It doesn't even have to be that drastic. Just go to church and live for God and see if your lost family won't try to talk you out of it. You know, if you're lost, if you would get saved here tonight, and see if your coworkers don't try to talk you out of your commitment to serving God. Listen, God is trying to test our faith here tonight. He's testing our faith, and if he gives you a burden to do something, there will be all kinds of people who will try to stop you from taking the test. There will be all kinds of naysayers, all kinds of people who will try to stop you. Listen, you're going to have the mindset of Abraham. You know what? I'm going to block all those people out. I'm going to block out all the naysayers. I'm going to block out all the noise. I'm going to block out anything and everything that would hold me back from doing God's will. If you're going to pass your tests of faith, you have to block out everything else. It has to be just you and God. You may have to tell some people, wait here while I and the lad go yonder and worship. You may have to get rid of some things. There may have to be some people that you say, hold on, hold off for a second. I and the lad are going to go yonder and worship. Let me give you a fourth thing quickly about Abraham's mindset. Abraham also determined to display his trust in God before others. Abraham's mindset was, okay, this is a difficult test, but I'm going to determine to display my trust in God before others. Look with me, if you will, verses 5 through 8. Verses 5 through 8, the Bible says this. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, my father? And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And verse number 8 says, Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. And so they went both of them together. Did you notice that Abraham displayed his trust in God before others? Let me give you two different groups of people. First off, he displayed his trust in God to the young men, to the naysayers, if you will, to the doubters. He said, I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and we will come again to you. He displayed his trust in God even to the doubters, even to the naysayers. And I hate to compare these two guys to naysayers, but for our purpose tonight, they represent those people that would hold us back from obedience to God. Abraham displayed trust in God into those people. He said, look, we're going to go up, but we're coming back, both of us. God is going to take care of this. Both of us are going to come back. But not only did he display his test in front of the display his trust in God in front of the naysayers, he also displayed his trust in God before his family, those that were closest to him. He displayed his faith he displayed his trust in God to Isaac. You know, he displayed his trust in God to his family. He displayed his trust in God to those who were affected by his surrender. Both of those are very important. And listen, both of those are very impressive. You know, I can understand how we might feel the need to hold strong in front of the naysayers and the doubters. I can understand how we might see the need to hold strong and put it on the front that, look, man, God's going to take care of us. But he did it in front of his family. You know, how many of us would go home after, you know, God called us to do something, and so we're committed to do it, and then we have all these people maybe at work, maybe some lost family, and they're saying, hey, you don't want to do that, don't do that. And we say, no, God's going to take care of me. It doesn't make any sense, seems difficult, but God's going to take care of me. And bless God, we're going to pass this test. But then we go home, and we say to our wife and our children, we say, ooh, I don't know how God's going to do this. I don't know where God's going to provide a lamb from. I don't know how this is going to happen. No, he displayed his trust in God in front of both of those parties, the naysayers and those that were closest to him, those who were affected by the surrender. Let's get my tongue straight. Abraham displayed his faith in God in front of both parties. He displayed confidence in God before the naysayers, those without, and his family, those who were closest to him. And then fifthly and lastly, would you notice one more thing with me about Abraham's mindset? Not only did he gather everything he needed to obey, not only did he understand the seriousness of the test, not only did he rid himself of everything and anything that would hold him back from following through and passing the test, not only did he display his trust in God to others, but lastly, Abraham displayed the willingness to obey and sacrifice and pass the test. Look at verses 9 and 10. This is amazing. Verses 9 and 10. And they came to the place which God had told them of. And Abraham built there an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. Abraham followed through with it. Abraham understood, look, this is what God wanted him to do. Even though it was difficult for him, even though this was precious to him, even though it didn't make any sense to him, he followed through. He demonstrated, he displayed a willingness to obey and literally to sacrifice. When it was game time, he didn't ask to sit the bench. He didn't back out. He didn't turn back. He didn't fold. He went for it. He submitted to God. He submitted to God's will and he obeyed. He was willing to give up whatever God wanted. He was willing not only to sacrifice Isaac, not just to give Isaac up, this is what I'm trying to say. He wasn't just willing to give Isaac up. He was willing to sacrifice him himself personally. Now, I don't have any children, but I was a child, and you were a child, so you know what I'm talking about. There may be some times when you as a parent may think in your head, you know, man, my children, I just like to take a dagger and plunge it right into them. That's not what this is. Okay? That's not what this is at all. He bound up his son, looked into his son's face as he saw the horror look in his son's eyes as he looked back at him and as he stretched out the knife to obey God and slay his son. Even in that, he was willing to obey. He demonstrated his willingness to obey. Again, a lot of times when we get to that point in our test, we're ready to back out. We say, you know what, God, just give me an F. No. A pass. No, thank you. I'll just fail. I'll just take the F. What a testimony of Abraham, amen? What a testimony. He demonstrated a willingness to go all the way and to trust God to the very end. What is my mindset during God's testing of my faith? What is your mindset when God tests your faith? Will you gather what you need to obey? Will you take God's test of your faith seriously? Will you block out the naysayers, the doubters, those that would deter you from obeying God? Will you display your trust in God before others? Will you demonstrate your willingness to obey? Perhaps God is testing your faith here tonight. Again, it could be a big test, could be a very small test, could be anywhere in between. But let me ask you, what's your mindset? What's your attitude? Where's your surrender at? Where's your obedience at? We have an impeccable example of Abraham, don't we? I mean, a man just like you and I, flesh and bones just like you and I, and he showed us what our attitude ought to be when God tests our faith, even in the hard ones. And you could say, Abraham's test isn't as hard as mine. Abraham's test was to give up a lifelong promise of God that he would be the father of many nations. Listen, I'm not trying to diminish anyone's test of faith here tonight. I'm simply saying that Abraham's was probably on the leaderboard when it came to the difficulty of tests of faith. And he still gave us an incredible, impeccable example of the mindset that we should have when God decides to test our faith. Listen, tonight, like Abraham, if we're going to pass these tests, well, number one, we're going to have to agree to take the tests. We need to have the proper mindset about taking our test and demonstrate a surrendered spirit and take them. And then be willing to follow through and do everything we can to pass them. And then lastly tonight, if we'll do those things, we can receive the blessings for past tests. Always feels good to pass a test, amen? You know, we're all a little bit different. Some of us have a little bit higher standards. Some of us, it's a perfect score or we failed. Some of us, hey, D plus, C minus, I'll take it. I passed. You know what I'm saying? We all have different standards, but it always feels good to pass a test. And there's always blessings for passing one of God's tests of faith. Always blessings. Would you focus with me for just a few more minutes as I share to you tonight some of the blessings we receive for passing our tests of faith? Let me give you some of these. Number one, first off, would you notice with me that we receive the blessing of God's perfect timing? Look at verse number 10. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And notice this part. And the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he stopped everything and said, immediately, here I am. Here am I. Whew. Listen, that was close. Just in time. God is always on time, isn't he? Listen, if you're in the middle of a test of faith tonight, God knows exactly the very second that you need, that he needs to stop the test. He knows when to stop the exam. Abraham was 1 second away from the test being too long. Literally, 1 second away from the test being too long. You don't believe me? Just ask Isaac. 1 second longer, and the test would have lasted too long. Get this, though. 1 second early. Had God stopped the test 1 second earlier, and it would not have been as meaningful for Abraham. Would you agree with me with that tonight? Would you agree with me tonight that God is sovereign enough? He's wise enough? He's gracious enough? He's merciful enough? And he's loving enough to know, to make sure that your test of your faith is not a second too long and also not a second too short? One of the blessings of us passing our tests of faith is that we can enjoy seeing the sovereignty of God in our lives. We can see the perfect timing of God in our lives as he stops our exams. Let me give you a second blessing of passing our tests of faith. Not only do we receive God's perfect timing, but we receive God's pleasure. We receive God's pleasure. Look at verse number 12. The Bible says this, "And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything to him." Notice this part, "for I know that thou fearest God, saying that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." You know what the angel basically told Abraham? He said, good job. Well done. He said, God saw that. God saw that. You know, I think now is a good time to ask the question that's on all of our minds. Would Abraham have done it? Would Abraham have done it? Think about this with me. We read it in Hebrews chapter 11 earlier, that the Bible said that by faith, Abraham was willing to offer up Isaac, believing that God would even raise him from the dead. Even raise him from the dead. You know, had the angel been a second too late, would Abraham have done it? Absolutely. Because Abraham had the faith, he understood that, you know what? God promised this son to me. He promised that I'd be a father of many nations. If he wants me to take this son, if he wants me to give this up to him, then I know he's going to give it all back. Listen, according to my knowledge, we know in Scripture there was no recorded resurrection of anybody up until this point in the book of Genesis. We're still early on in human history. Now, that's not to say that there haven't been people raised from the dead. It's just the Bible hadn't recorded for us any instances of people that had. But Abraham had the faith to believe in something he'd never seen before. To believe in something he had never seen happen before. He said, if I do this, I know God is going to raise him from the dead. We're going to return back to those boys, me and Isaac. We're going to. And God saw that. And God said, well done. Well done. He said, I saw that you were going to obey. I saw that you were. I saw your obedience. I saw your attitude. I saw your faith that you demonstrated. He was so surrendered that his mindset was, if God wanted to take it all, since he made all of this possible in his promise to him, then he would give it all back. To Abraham, nothing would keep God from delivering on his promises. And God saw that faith and he was pleased by it. Man, what a blessing it is to receive the pleasure of God for passing the tests of our faith. What a blessing it will be one day when we pass the ultimate test of faith of eternity. And God says to us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. If you pass your test of faith, you'll receive his pleasure. Thirdly, if you will with me, just a couple more. Thirdly, a third blessing I want to give you tonight is that you'll receive, a third blessing for passing your tests of faith is you'll receive God's picture of substitution. You'll receive God's picture of substitution. Look at verse 13. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him, a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went up and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. What a blessing that is, amen. I mean, we see God's picture of substitution. I guarantee you tonight, Isaac believes in the substitutionary death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaac, of all people, would understand what it means to have someone die in your place. He understands, of all people, what it means to have a substitutionary death, a substitutionary sacrifice. Listen, if you're lost here tonight, I wish Isaac was here to tell you about the doctrine of substitution, because he didn't have to die. This was great. He didn't have to die. God provided another sacrifice. We often forget that these were real people. Listen, can you imagine the conversation they must have had going down the hill? I mean, just think about this with me. Abraham's like, Isaac, I knew the whole time. You know, I knew the whole time. Hey, even if I would have killed you, you know, even if one second too late, I mean, God would have raised you from the dead. It'd been all right. You know, Isaac is just like, well, yeah, I'm glad God stopped the test right on time. You know what I mean? And then he's also was like, you know what? I'm thankful for the substitutionary death of another. I mean, these were real people. Now, of course, we know the picture tonight. God didn't have Abraham do this because he was cruel. God didn't do this because he was cruel. He didn't do this because he wanted to torture Abraham. He didn't want to torture Isaac. I'm confident that Abraham and Isaac would agree with me on that tonight. God didn't do this to torture them. He didn't do this to put them through some great agony, some great turmoil. No, he did this to picture the substitutionary death of his son, Jesus Christ. He did this to picture the substitutionary death of his son. God told Abraham, go offer up your son Isaac, your only son that you love. And God stopped Abraham short and provided a substitute. And when it came time for the sacrifice of sins of mankind, God was not only willing to give up his son, his only begotten son, whom he loves, God followed through with it. God followed through with it. God didn't make Abraham give up his son. He provided a substitute. God didn't require all of us to be sacrificed. God provided for us a substitute through his son. Listen, if you're not saved here tonight, You've never made peace between you and God. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. But the Mason preached on this morning. You deserve to die because of your sin. Death, separation from God in eternity. But praise God, we have a substitute. Praise God, we have a substitute. If you're not saved here tonight, but you want to be, we'd love to show you from the Bible how you can apply Christ's substitutionary death to your account and you can be saved. But I want to point something out to us tonight. When God delivers us from our time of testing, when we pass our tests of faith, it's a picture that there was a time at Calvary when Christ died in our place to deliver us from the test of eternity. From the test of eternity. Every time you and I pass a test of faith, it'll all be a reminder to us that not only do we pass this test of faith by the grace of God, but we also pass the test of eternity by the grace of God as well. Every time we pass a test of faith, whether we realize it or not, it's a tremendous picture of the grace of God and His substitutionary death of His Son and His salvation and His deliverance that He offers on our behalf. Fourthly, this tonight, quickly, and we'll be done. Fourthly, actually, this one and one more. When we pass our tests of faith, we'll also receive the memory of God's provision. We'll receive the memory of God's provision. Look at verse number 14. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Abraham called the place Jehovah Jireh. It's called the place he called it was the Lord will provide. That's what he called that mountain. He said, that was the mountain where God provided. I guarantee Isaac was probably saying, that was the place where Dad tried to kill me. But Abraham said, no, this is the place where God provided. Listen, when Abraham looked back on this incident, when he went back to the land of Moriah, and he looked at that mountain, he didn't call it the place of agony. He didn't call it the place of cruelty. He didn't call it the place of torture, the place of torment. No, he called it the place where God provided. When Abraham looked at that mountain, he wanted to remember that as he and Isaac were going up that one side of the mountain, that God was bringing up a ram on the other side of the mountain to provide for them a substitutionary death. A substitutionary death. He called it, the Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. Again, not the place of agony, not the place of cruelty, not the place of torture, but the place where God provided. Listen, many in this room here tonight are being reminded of times in their lives where they passed the test of faith, a tough test of faith in their lives. Many of you are thinking of them right now in their minds, right here tonight, and God provided for them. Listen, that's a blessing, isn't it? That you can look back at that moment, you can look at that test of faith and say, man, it was hard, but God provided. But God provided. Isn't it a blessing knowing that you've passed the hard tests before? Isn't it a blessing knowing that God has provided before, that God pictured His substitute in your life and God provided? Isn't it a blessing that knowing that you've passed some tests before, so when the next one comes, you can know that, you know what, God's going to provide again. God's going to provide again. When you pass the test of your faith, you receive the blessings of God's promise, of God's provision. Then lastly here tonight, we've seen the blessings of God's perfect timing, the blessings of God's pleasure, the blessings of the picture of God's substitution, the blessings of the memory of God's provision. And then lastly, will you notice with me one more thing? The blessings of God's kept promises. The blessings of God's kept promises. Look with me, if you will, at these last verses, verses 15 through 18. Verse 15 says, "And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." Listen, a final blessing we learn from the story of Abraham and Isaac, the story of Abraham passing his test of faith, is that we receive the blessings of knowing that God keeps His promises. Of knowing that God keeps His promises. Isn't that something? When we accept our tests of faith as they come, and when we have the right mindset to take our tests and we pass them, we see that God will keep His word all along, that God has kept His word all along. We'll get to see firsthand that God always keeps His promises. Listen tonight. When we pass our test of faith, we'll realize that this Bible is for real. That this Bible isn't just some black and red words on white paper. No, this is God's promises to us. Listen, if you'll pass your test of faith, you'll know what it means when the Bible says that He will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You know what the Bible says when it says that we can cast all our cares upon Him, for He cares for you. We'll know what it means when the Bible says that God is our refuge and strength and our very present help in a time of trouble. We'll know what the Bible means when the Bible says that God will supply all of our need according to His riches and glory. We'll understand that we can come boldly before the throne of grace. We'll understand that God's grace is sufficient for us. We'll understand that what time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. We'll understand the promise that God's word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. You'll understand that Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on Thee because he trusteth in Thee. You'll understand these are the promises that God has written to us. And it'll be real to you that God kept His promises when you pass your tests of faith. You get my point here tonight. We receive the blessings of God's kept promises when we pass our tests of faith. His promises will be real to us. The book will become real when we pass our tests of faith. So tonight we talked about the fact that God wants to test our faith. And if we're going to pass our tests of faith, we're going to have to do a couple things. First, we're going to have to be willing to take the tests. We'll have to realize that we don't get to choose the timing, and it may just be the time that we wouldn't like, or that we're not expecting, or we want to be hoping for. And we'll have to accept the fact that the test may seem illogical. And sorry to say, but sometimes we also can't determine the difficulty of the test. Only God does. And unfortunately, it may require us to sacrifice something very precious to us. Not always, but sometimes. And secondly, if we have any shot at passing these tests, we're going to have the right mindset. We're going to have everything ready that we'll need to obey when the time comes. We'll have to prepare for it now. Listen, prepare for the tests of your faith now, tonight. We'll have to take our tests seriously. We'll have to block out anything and everything that will keep us from passing our tests. We'll have to display our trust in God before others, from those without and those within. And we'll have to demonstrate a willingness to submit and obey to God. Oh, but when we do and we pass those tests of faith, we can receive some great blessings when it's over. Number one, we can receive the blessings of God's perfect timing in our life. We can receive the blessing of God's pleasure, His pleasure of us, and a job well done. We'll receive the blessings of God's picture of substitution. We'll receive the blessings of the memory of God's provision. And we'll receive the blessing of God's kept promises. We'll receive the memory of God's kept promises. So listen tonight. How does all this apply to us and we're done? Well, let me just say this. It depends if you're lost or you're saved here tonight. If you're lost here tonight, listen, there is a test of faith that is before you right here tonight. And let me say, it is a very important test. It is a test with eternal consequences. The biggest test you will ever face in your life, the test of salvation, the test of saving faith, if you will. Oh, but I got good news for you. You can pass the test. You can pass the test. You say, Josh, I'm not very smart. How do you know I can pass the test? Check this out. If you're saved here tonight, if you've passed eternity's test, say amen. 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 Oh, that was a little weak. Come on, help me out, church family. If you passed eternity's test and you're saved here tonight, you're on your way to heaven, say amen.
Amen.
Listen, we have testimonies all across the room. I'm not trying to insult anybody here tonight, but not all of us had a 4.0 GPA in high school. Some of us did. 4.1. But not all of us had a 4.0. Some of us were those people that we were talking about. They were just happy to pass. But listen, we have testimonies of people all walks of life who have passed eternity's test. Listen, now, here's the good thing. It's an open book test.
Right.
And listen, there is no rules against it. As a matter of fact, it's encouraged for someone to administer the test to you, to help you through the test.
Amen.
And we would love to help you do that tonight. If you're saved, not saved here tonight, if you're listening on the internet even and you're not saved, then reach out to us because you need to pass eternity's test. And you can pass it. You can pass it. But you have to submit to take the test. You have to submit to take the test. All you have to do is humble yourself before God and receive the substitutionary death of His Son and call upon the name of the Lord for salvation. And the Bible says, if you call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. Amen. Amen. Listen, it's an open book test, and we would love to explain it to you. Why not pass eternity's test here tonight? Secondly, if you're here tonight and you are saved, listen, there's a good chance that God either is, will, or has tested your faith. Listen, He may test your faith this week. There's a good chance that He's testing your faith right now. Probably not on the scale of the message tonight. Probably not on the scale of Abraham and Isaac. Possibly. I don't know what's going on in people's lives here tonight. It's possible. But I suspect that many of us will have our faith tested this week. We're having our faith tested right now. Some of us this week are going to go to work, and our faith is going to be tested. Many are already having their faith tested. Let me ask you a couple questions. Will you submit to His test tonight? Will you submit to His test, might, great or small, difficult or easy, little or much? Will you surrender to take any test of faith that God would ask of you? What will your attitude toward the test be? Perhaps you're here tonight and you're complaining about the difficulty of the test that God has you in. Perhaps you're complaining about the timing of the test. Perhaps you're complaining about the cost of passing the test. Maybe God would lead you to come tonight to the altar and ask God to help you to have the right mindset, the right attitude in taking the test of faith that He's given you. You know, maybe you need to apologize to Him for how you've been complaining about your test. Why not get that right with Him tonight? Maybe you're here tonight and God is testing your faith and you're trying to have the right mindset, but there are some people who are trying to hold you back from passing your test. Maybe God would have you to come to the altar tonight and ask you to help you in a nice way, in a right way, to put aside anyone and everything who would deter you from passing your exams. Maybe God is speaking in your heart about tonight about your need to display your trust in God in front of others. In front of others. You know, it's not always easy to do, but with the whole Lord's help is possible. Amen. And lastly, tonight, maybe you're here and you're not just taking your test seriously as you should. You can come forward to the altar tonight and ask God to help you to take it seriously, as seriously as it is. Maybe you just need to ask for His strength to help you to endure until the final buzzer. Lastly tonight, maybe God would have you to thank Him for the blessings that you've received from your past tests over your life. In the light of tonight's message, I can see it appropriate that we would thank Him for His perfect timing, for His pleasure that we receive, for His picture of substitution, for the memories of His provision, and for the promises that He's kept to us. Listen tonight, someone who doesn't understand the nature and the purpose of God's tests of our faith will look at this story and say, man, God is so cruel. God is so cruel. He's so mean. I can't believe He would do something like that. May God help us to realize that God is not a God of cruelty, that He tests our faith because He loves to see the progress of the faith in His children. And more importantly, He tests the faith of His children for their benefit, so that they can see how much of the information that they've retained and put into practice. How much of the Bible, how much of the preaching that they've heard, that they've retained and are putting into practice. Stand with me, if you will, tonight. We'll have every head bowed and every eyes closed. Apologize for going a little long.